Welcome back to a little Sunday conversation on Texas football. I'm CJ Vogel, joined today by Jerry Hamilton. And today we're going to be, you know, kind of dissecting and discussing a little bit about the defensive line. Obviously, it's been a hot topic this offseason. The departures of T'Vondre Sweat, Byron Murphy, Trill Carter has left that room kind of in, you know, a little bit of a question mark area at the moment. Texas obviously addressed it out of the portal. Three portal bodies coming in. From the not only the winter cycle, but the spring cycle as well. Bill Norton, Tia Savea, and of course the most recent one out of Louisville, who Texas flipped from Oklahoma, Jermaine Lole. A lot of bodies, a lot of addressing going on in this room right now. Still, do we feel like that room is where it needs to be, even after all the departures that we mentioned earlier? Jerry, do you think that room is, you know, up to par with what you'd expect from Texas in the SEC?
I think the three technique is gonna be okay. I think over the ball, that's where you wish you might have had one more body, right? One more experienced adult in the room, high caliber player over the ball. But I think the three technique positions actually gonna be pretty good for Texas. Now Jermaine Lole's health is dependent on that. He returned back healthy, not the same player he was for Louisville after missing 2 years, not the same player he was at Arizona State before the injuries, but he returned last year to play about 400 snaps. So I think Bill Norton provides some that adult over the ball. I think Jermaine Lole can play over the ball in certain and against certain teams, right, against certain matchups. But I do think that is one position where you need Sadir Mitchell to step up and you need Alex January to keep coming. That summer with Torrey Becton and by the last half of the season be a player. But I think from the disruptive point of view, Texas may even be a little better as a disruptive unit next year. Alfred Collins another year, Vernon Broughton, that's where he excels. He's not an anchor guy. I think Savea showed some things in the spring game. Lole, if he gives you a healthy season like last year he at Louisville, but a little bit improved, a little bit more confidence coming off those injuries. And Jare Bledsoe, who you can play over the ball against certain teams in that three. I think Texas is going to be fine as a disruptive unit. The question is, how are they going to anchor against the run? And that kind of remains to be seen.
Yeah, I think obviously when you lose a first and a second round pick in that interior defensive line, your top guys probably won't be at that same level. But I think Texas now has 6, 7, maybe even 8 bodies that could rotate in and give you decent snaps. Among those bodies, when you look at it, a lot of veteran bodies in that room. A lot of guys with a lot of snaps, 6-year senior, 6-year senior, 2 5th-year seniors. Of course, Tia Savea has played a lot of ball as well. To me, when you look at it, if you're not going to have the top end talent that are, you know, popping up on mock drafts or anything along the lines of that, at least have some veteran bodies there. And that's exactly what Texas has gone out and added so far with the portal additions, Lole, Norton, and Savea so far.
The one thing you can see, that takeaway, is Texas can rotate 6 players. That now is in play. Obviously, there's going to be some injuries in there, right? But Texas is going to have 6 players they can rotate. And that was what they wanted to do last year. That's the goal again this year. So Texas is going to have that. And like you said, I mean, Lole, Bill Norton. I've always said this about Bill Norton. Look, even past that, he had a good year at Arizona last year. He practiced against Georgia and all their NFL offensive linemen every day in practice for 4 years. So, I mean, he's got experience beyond just what he did last year at Arizona. Savea, I think, obviously has really good experience. Lole has tremendous experience. So, I mean, both those guys, I mean, Lole, I mean, you can look back at his Arizona State freshman sophomore tapes. He's playing against USC. He's playing against UCLA, Oregon, all those people. He's played against the guys, some of the guys he's going to have to go up against. And then last year at Louisville, man, I mean, you know, he got more of that experience. So I think Texas is fine from an experience standpoint. Now, the question is, what will make this maximize this group is out of Bledsoe, Sadir, Alex January. Who's going to step up and be a player? Because I think you know what you're going to get from the older guys. Which of that group is going to step up and be a player? It needs to be Jare Bledsoe because I think he's pound for pound the best athlete in the program and can be a real disruptive force. It would help if he's the guy, especially early in the season. Then maybe second half of the season, you see Sadir and you see Alex January start to make big steps.
I was going to ask you, kind of transitioning over to some of the young guys, because I think I agree with you. We know what you're going to get out of these 5th and 6-year seniors. But what does this mean for a guy like Sadir, who's back in New Jersey for this month? He's training, trying to work on his body, trying to, you know, get that agility back to where it was out of high school. And, of course, Alex January, who had good moments in the spring, though very young. You don't see those impact freshmen too often in the SEC on either side of the trench, but we do expect him to, at least at some point this year, be a guy that makes some plays, you know, finds that rotation at times. With all of these veteran bodies, is it fair to say, okay, maybe the leash gets a little longer with where they are developmentally, or are we still looking at them as, yeah, they need to be guys that Texas can count on this year, regardless of how many bodies are ahead of them?
Yeah, I think Texas is going to have to play those guys, right? And I think the injuries are going to happen. I mean, look, Lole's had multiple years injury, right? The injuries are going to happen in the game, especially on the defensive line in this schedule Texas is going to play. So they're going to have these guys come on the second half of the season. And look, Sadir's in the best spot because he plays over the ball. And that is what he is. Alex January, I think, being a freshman, he's gotten a lot stronger, giving up baseball. So going through spring his junior year, he got a little bit more on the shoulders, a little bit muscle there behind the neck, so to speak. So he got going on the right path before his senior season in high school. Now he had a really good spring with Torrey Beckton on the field. And this June, July with Torrey Beckton is going to be really big for Alex January, I think, as he continues to load the muscle mass and strength onto that frame. But I think it sets up for a guy like Sadir to take a step. And this will be interesting to see because, look, all these guys, and we said this in the spring, CJ, all of them have a clean slate because there was a coaching change. Doesn't mean coach better, coach worse. Doesn't matter. All I'm talking about is clean slate. So Kenny Baker sees all these guys the same. And so Sadir Mitchell, Dre Bledsoe, Alex January, Aaron Bryant all have the same opportunity in front of them. Doesn't matter if you've been there 2 years or you just got there because Kenny Baker hadn't worked with any of you before. So I think Sadir's set up because of what Texas needs over the ball. I think he gets first crack at it, but he better get some things done early because I think Alex January's already proven to be a quick study and moving up.
I think that's a really good point. And to your earlier point about the snap count, of course, there's a lot of bodies at what we expect to be the B gap, the three techniques. Yeah. Of course, Sadir and Alex January kind of vying for that maybe second or third level guy over the ball. I wanted to bring this up, and this was on TexasFootball.com for anybody who hasn't seen it yet. This is the 2023 snap log. So yep. Exactly love where that. These guys lined up, whether it be the A gap, the B gap, over the tackle, or outside at the edge. You know, you see a lot of B gaps in the red there. That's a lot of snaps at the B gap. You should feel comfortable with what you left with Tavondre Sweat, Byron Murphy, and Troll Carter down at the bottom. Those guys accounted for, I'm doing the quick math here, close to about 750 snaps. Right now, I think you see that red group of bodies with about five guys right there up at the top. You feel comfortable with that. But then you look inside a little bit, and you only see Bill Norton. So to your point, someone like Sadir, someone like Alex January, there's a lot of snaps that need to be taken in that area. Who can step up and provide that service for the Longhorns?
Yeah, so, I mean, if you look, Sweat, Murphy, Carter combined for, what is that, quick math, 232 snaps in the A-gap. Lole, Norton, Savea, 202. So, I mean, right there. And Alfred Collins, you're not going to line up there very often. Bledsoe's a guy that's going to have a chance. But I think the one thing that Steve Sarkisian said in his interview with Josh Pate, and I listened to that on the drive back from Florida, that was interesting to me is he said versatility amongst this group. He really hammered home the point about versatility amongst this group. So I think we may see some schematic changes out of Texas next year. I think that's one thing to look at. Maybe Bill Norton's your A-gap player, right? Maybe Savea in some spots. Maybe Lole in some spots. Maybe Dre Bledsoe in some spots. See what Sadir Mitchell does. But I think the one thing that Sark hammered home again was versatility up front on the defensive line. That struck me because you really didn't hear that last year from Sark as much as you're starting to hear it now. So I think as transparent as Sark is with the media, that tells you there's going to be a little bit of a shift in some of the things they do up front this year.
I think you're right. And also, you know, we've heard about positionless football at other positions so far. The defensive line, a little bit more limited in where you can kind of throw these guys. But we do see, you know, T.S. Avea, Alfred Collins, Vernon Broughton having snaps as a seven tech, you know, on the outside of a tackle. out there playing edge. Texas may not need that again this year with the way the edges looked in the spring and the way that room has kind of improved and increased over the last 6 months. But it certainly allows you to provide different looks. I wanted to ask you specifically, Jerry, because we've talked about this on prior live streams, is, you know, when you're in that those, you know, first and second down situations, and you expect to run versus, you know, your third down bodies, and who that group might be, whether it be a platoon, whether it be just a common, you know, substitution, basically. Your third down guys getting after the passer of this bunch, I would have to imagine Alfred Collins is in there because of his athleticism. Who else joins him in your, I guess, base default third down look?
Historically, it's Lole, 12 and a half career sacks, right? He had six and a half in his healthiest, best season in college football, sophomore year, Arizona State. So those are your two guys, to me, that have been out. Dre Bledsoe's a wild card. What is he going to look like in year three? He's got all the talent in the world. Is he actually going to put it together this year? I think Lole over Broughton, for me. I think Lole is the best, most productive guy that Texas has on their roster. I think Savea quietly is a disruptive player, though. So I think those are the main guys. And I know Rod wants to see some NASCAR, what he calls NASCAR package, right? With throw in Sorrell inside sometimes with an Alfred Collins and on your third and known passing downs. The question is, how's rotation going to go this year with the headset communication? There's so many games that are going to be played this year within a series, not games within the game within a series. I think with the headset communication and how quickly teams can maybe get, if they like the personnel they're going against, how they can keep you from substituting at times. I think that's going to be interesting. So, but Alfred Collins and Lole are going to be lined up next to each other, your best combination pass rushers on the interior.
Absolutely. I agree with you as in that regard as well. But I wanted to focus a little bit more towards the future of this room. Because, again, we talked about the experience. We have two fifth-year seniors that expect to depart to the NFL or, you know, other professional football leagues after this season. I think that's the expectation. Tia Savea has the option as well. So that leads a little bit to wonder what the 2025 room might look like.
Yeah.
And we know Texas is after a number of big guys in the 2025 class at the moment. Of course, Brandon Brown is in the fold, but we talk about Kevin Wynn, of course, Zion Williams. There's a number of guys that Kenny Baker is going out to seeing right now, and you've just completed a trip as well where you got to see a number of them.
Yeah.
What does that picture look like for 2025 defensive line recruiting?
Well, I can tell you this. They're on the right guys. Now, those guys would be true freshmen in the SEC. So Texas will be back in the portal in some capacity next year. Unless Sidir Mitchell, Alex January, and Dre Bledsoe look like future NFL draft picks next season, any point during that season, and Aaron Bryant comes on, right? And Melvin Hills, maybe they like what they see early from him. But Texas will be in the portal again, whether it's one, two, or three guys. Probably won't, maybe not be three, maybe one or two, depending on who leaves. But look, Brandon Brown, the Texas commitment, is 6'5" to 6'1" without shoes on. He's taller than I am. He's got long arms. He's got 10. There's a type here that Texas is hitting on. His wingspan's good. His hand size is 10 and a quarter, 10 and a half in that area. Okay. He is an early graduate as well. So then I go down. I started Kevin Wynn in Greene County. 6'2, 315 without shoes on. Legitimate, strong upper body kid. Early high school graduate. He's an over the ball player. I think FSU, South Carolina, who Texas is battling. I think Georgia may actually be fourth. Well, now I'm not counting Georgia out, but that's where I think we're starting these June visits at. Maybe they're tied third with Texas because Kevin's never been to Texas. But Kevin Wynn, he's early high school graduate. He fits that type. He's an over the ball player that can play the three, though. He can play the three. Right. Then I went down, saw Brandon Brown and saw Derry Norris at Spruce Creek, who he hadn't locked in the official visit. It'll be June 21st through 23rd. 6'4", 270, 10.5-inch hands, 80-inch wingspan, early high school graduate. Then I ended up seeing Myron Charles at Port Charlotte on Friday. 6'4", 280, 81-inch wingspan, 10.25-inch hands, early high school graduate. Josiah Sharma out at Folsom. 6'4", 305, December high school graduate. Zion Williams, same thing. So Texas is on the right guys, and they're going to take a four-man D-line class in high school. And that's not all the guys. Like, Texas will be able to see Chase Sims at Richmond Randall next week. They still have DJ Sanders scheduled for an official visit June 21st through 23rd. I think Chase Sims will get an official visit scheduled here pretty soon. So I think you're going to see a couple more guys added to that official visit list. But Texas is on the right guys. What they're going to need is one or two of those guys to be ready to play on some level as freshmen. And if you end up getting a difference maker in year one, if the talent they're recruiting right now, if they hit on the right four, chances are one of those guys is going to come in and just push and get on the field quite a bit. But I think Texas will be in the portal. I don't know if it'll be three. It'll be one or two in the next class.
Yeah, I'm with you. You just are shaped up right now to lose a lot of bodies at that position for 2025, which not a spot you want to be weak at in the SEC. Just going over those official visits one more time in the 2025 class. Myron Charles coming in May 31st through June 2nd.
He changed that one, CJ. He changed that one. So he's Florida the 31st through 2nd, and he's Texas June 14th through 16th. So that weekend, Texas will have Myron Charles, Sharma, Brandon Brown.
Kevin Wynn.
And then on the 21st weekend, it'll be Derry Norris, Zion Williams. Is there somebody I'm forgetting on that group?
DJ Sanders, yep.
DJ Sanders, there you go. And I think Chase Sims will probably be added to that official visit list coming up here soon. And I think Texas is looking at more guys in Georgia too as well. So not out of question, somebody from Georgia scheduled an official visit. I don't think Texas is going to make that last run at Malik Autry, but they may still go by the school next week, next couple weeks. We'll see. But I think those are your official visits. And they have to win. They have to sign four guys. They need to win three. I have a top group of Brandon Brown, Sharma, Myron Charles, Kevin Wynn, Derry Norris. Those are kind of – and Zion Williams. Those are my six. I think those six are above the others. Texas needs to win three of those.
Yes.
If you win four, you've had a hellacious class. You need to win three. You need to split those guys somehow, some way. And then if your fourth is a Chase Sims or a developmental guy like DJ Sanders, who doesn't need to be thought about as an early guy, he needs to be thought about as a couple of years away type of guy. But Texas needs to win three of those top six for me.
I'm with you. And again, that'll just continue to build the depth for future years where – you know, you're not looking at a room right now with one freshman on campus, two in the last 2 years, three in the last 2 years when you account for Melvin Hills coming in. But that'll do it for today's defensive line recap. Of course, that room is a very polarizing room at the moment. You don't know what to expect, whether it be promising with the experienced veteran bodies or, you know, a complete drop off from what we saw a year ago with Devondre Sweat and Byron Murphy wrecking havoc seemingly each week. We'll see. Right now, I think Texas does have a number of good rotational bodies that will maintain a consistent level of play for the SEC, and that's in large part because of the amount of experience and production that they've added via the portal, and then we'll talk about next year. But for right now, that'll do for today's Sunday conversation about the defensive line. For Jerry Hamilton, I'm CJ Vogel. Y'all enjoy the rest of the Sunday, and hook 'em.